We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
Celtics open the regular season tonight. God dang it, we had a busy show today. We eviscerated Laz Diaz.
Yes.
Callum Scott joined us in studio for a little musical accompaniment. We've talked to Anson Carter. Now joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Odyssey NBA insider, former NBA GM Ryan McDonough. And Ryan McDonough is presented by BetQL. Mr. McDonough, good afternoon. It's a big night around here, as you could imagine. And I don't want to say I feel bad for the Celtics, Ryan, because, hey, listen, when sports are good, it's good for everybody. But it kind of feels like this Celtics season has kind of snuck up on us here a little bit.
It has. Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's always great to be on with you guys. And yeah, even in the decade plus, I worked for the franchise when the Red Sox were playing into October in the playoffs or the Patriots were rolling. I felt like early in the season, even in the late 2007 to 2010, that range, when we were going to the finals seemingly every other year, it was overshadowed. But that was one of the thoughts, guys, with potentially pushing the NBA season back to start around Christmas to get away from baseball and especially football. That didn't work out great. So here we are back on schedule. And with the Celtics, obviously, they're getting started tonight at MSG against the New York Knicks.
And I think everybody would agree that Jason Tatum is the Celtics' best player, and he has gotten better as his young career has gone on. What do you think in his game he needs to improve to take it to even the next level?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think there are a few small adjustments. Just watching a little bit of preseason and reading the quotes, especially from Ime Udoka, it seems like he's taking the next step as far as his playmaking. I think on the ball, his playmaking, his passing. I look at it this way, guys. I think for a talented young player like Tatum, who's 6'8 and can get a shot at any time, it's a blessing and a curse sometimes that you can create a shot, make any shot. He's that talented. But that doesn't mean he should try to create a shot every single time and score, you know, for himself. He needs to get others involved, get to the free throw line a bit more. So I think on the ball, it's creation for his teammates. Off the ball, I think it's movement, cutting, move the ball, get it back. If I look at the development of a young player we had in Phoenix and Devin Booker, there are a lot of similarities to Tatum. They're both terrific young talents. I thought Booker was too ball dominant, isolation heavy early in his career. He learned to move without the ball and get it back, and that made him even more efficient and more deadly. And I think Tatum certainly has the ability to do that and has some talented players around him as well.
Ryan, why should any of us believe that Marcus Smart will be a different player under Ime Udoka than he was under Brad Stevens?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you necessarily want Marcus Smart to be a different player. I know I may be in the minority there in New England, but with bringing in Dennis Schroeder, they have a more traditional point guard, at least a scoring point guard, who Schroeder's strengths are Smart's weaknesses and vice versa. If I'm Ime Udoka, I want Marcus Smart to be who he's always been. You put him on the ball defensively, have him guard the best backcourt player on the opposing team, whether that's a point guard or even a shooting guard. He has that kind of versatility. He has improved as a three-point shooter. And then you try to limit some of Marcus's weaknesses, which are decision-making and playmaking. So for me, I like the guy. I like his competitiveness. He is not your traditional bring the ball up the court and initiate your offense point guard. But I think if you try to make Marcus Smart that, you're taking away from some of his strengths, especially the defense and the intangibles with the physicality and loose balls and all the other things he does to help a team win basketball games.
What do you think the ceiling is for this team? And then on the other side, what do you think the floor is?
Yeah, good question. I think the middle of the Eastern Conference this year is really going to be a battleground in that 3 to even 9-10 range. I think it's going to be very competitive. I think at the top of the conference, you'll have the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. I have a little bit of separation with those two teams in particular. With Philadelphia's issues, I think they're in the next tier along with a bunch of teams. I think it's a deep group with Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Miami. We'll see what happens with Indiana and the Knicks. The Celtics play tonight, so it's going to be a battle to try to get in the top four, get home court advantage in the first round. Certainly, the Celtics should want to stay in the top six if they can to avoid the play-in. But again, I think the middle of the East is better than it has been. So I think the ceiling for Boston is maybe the third seed in the Eastern Conference. If they can be the third best team behind Milwaukee and Brooklyn, I think that would be a heck of a regular season. The floor, I think they're right around that play-in range and that 7-10 range, or maybe battling to get in. Because I look at the teams at the bottom of the conference, like Orlando. The Celtics are clearly better than Orlando. They're probably better than Toronto. But we'll see if a team like Charlotte can surprise. Detroit will be down at the bottom as well. Can the Celtics stay in that 3-6 range, avoid the play-in, and then ideally, if they get the 3 or 4 seed, get home court in the first round.
Ryan McDonough with us on the Harbor One Hotline, former NBA GM. He is an Odyssey NBA insider. And, of course, Ryan is presented to us by BetQL. We haven't mentioned Jaylen Brown, and it feels like, Ryan, nobody is talking about Jaylen Brown. What do you expect from him this year? And for those of us who don't have the trained basketball eyes like you do, how would we know that he is continuing to grow as a basketball player?
Yeah, I think he has grown every year. I mean, I remember him at Cal, watching him in the 2016 draft, and coming off a good high school career, he really struggled for Cal and Danny Ainge, and the front office was heavily criticized when they selected him with the third pick in 2016, which turned out to be a brilliant selection. So I think Jaylen's added to his game every year, especially the skill aspects of his game, the shooting, the ball handling. He was relatively raw. He was always strong and athletic going back to high school and college, but he's really refined his game. So I think, similar to Tatum, that'll be the next step for this team, guys. Not only for Tatum and Brown individually, but the playmaking, the ball movement, and player movement. When I watched them play last year, I thought at times the ball stuck too much. They got too isolation heavy. They weren't moving and cutting. If you look at teams like the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns that had a lot of success last year, especially in the regular season, the ball whipped around. A lot of guys touched it and got it back and moved without the ball. We'll see if Ime Udoka can implement that this year in Boston. I would urge Celtics fans to be patient with Brown if he gets off to a slow start out of the gate. Obviously, he's been battling COVID. There were some questions about whether he would play in tonight's game against the Knicks. It looks like he will play, but if he got knocked down with COVID for the last week or so, I don't expect him to be the borderline all-star that he's been right out of the gate, given what he's dealt with over the last couple weeks.
If you were running the Nets, how would you handle the Kyrie Irving situation?
Probably a lot of red wine would be my first step. Maybe some of the hard stuff after that. Into some brown or clear liquors. It's really just beyond. Frustrating. And guys, I'm on record last year when James Harden was available on the trade block from the Houston Rockets saying Brooklyn should really think about trading Kyrie, just Kyrie, for Harden. In that case, I don't know if the Rockets would have done that or not, but in that case, that Brooklyn could have retained, at least theoretically, Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and a bunch of draft picks. Obviously, Brooklyn didn't do that. They traded all those guys and then a number of picks and pick swaps. And I think you really have to hope that if you're Brooklyn that Kyrie does get vaccinated at some point. I give them a lot of credit for sticking to their guns and saying you can't be a part-time player. You can't just play in road games. That'll be distraction. But I don't know what choice Sean Marks, the GM, and Joe Tsai, the owner, have at this point, guys, because Kyrie right now is radioactive around the league. His trade market is limited, maybe non-existent, because even look at Philadelphia with Ben Simmons or some of the other teams who are championship contenders who could use Kyrie's talent. I think if they look in the mirror and ask themselves, do we trust this guy? Do we really want to deal with all these issues, given what happened at the end of his time in Cleveland, when he was with you guys and with the Celtics in those couple-year period, and then now in Brooklyn on a team that that had the best offense in NBA history last year and was a heavy favorite to win a championship, I think a vast majority of the other 29 NBA teams, if not all of them, say, we just don't want to deal with that guy. We don't want to deal with those antics because, more than anything, we don't know what we're going to get. We don't even know if this guy's going to show up and play basketball.
Speaking of showing up and playing basketball, apparently Ben Simmons woke up a couple days ago and was like, oh, I guess I should show up and report to camp. If you're Daryl Morey in Philly, what in the world are you doing with that situation?
Yeah, another tricky one. I think Philly will have to work out a trade eventually because, the unfortunate reality of the NBA guys, especially with a guy with 4 years and close to $150 million left on a guaranteed contract, is he can keep doing this for a while if he's willing to forego game checks and get fined and things like that, just deal with the circus. So my guess is Simmons gets traded at some point before the trade deadline in February. I know what Philly says. They're going to try to rehabilitate him and get him to fit into the locker room and have him forget the past. I don't think that's going to happen. I'd be surprised if that happens, given how Simmons has acted basically since Philly lost to Atlanta in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year, and then this entire offseason, starting with a holdout and then the recent antics since he's returned to the team. Look, at the end of the day, you can't make a guy play hard, you can't make him care more, and you can't make him give more effort than he's willing to give. So if he's not going to do that, it doesn't become a question of if you're going to trade him, it becomes a question of when you're going to trade him. I think Philly will trade him, and I guess the timing of that is whenever they can get the best trade package between now and the trade deadline in February.
Now, you were in Phoenix when DeAndre Ayton, you guys selected him number one overall, and he's been good. He hasn't been Luka Doncic or Trae Young, but he's been really good. I thought he was really good in the playoffs last year. And I kind of assumed he was going to get that long-term deal with the Suns. They didn't do it. So what's sort of the future there? And in another year or two, I guess, could he be playing somewhere else?
Well, yeah, it's a little surprising and disappointing that he did not get the contract extension. He wanted a max deal, and that was not offered by the team. He's a restricted free agent next year, guys, in the 2022 offseason. There aren't a ton of teams with salary cap space in the marketplace right now. However, at 23 years old, a guy who put up historic numbers, going to the NBA championship a year ago in terms of points and rebounds and efficiency, he's going to be maybe the top free agent on the market next year. It was a little baffling that the Suns didn't pay him, especially given that they did pay some other guys. I get Mikal Bridges. He's a very good player, extending him. We drafted Mikal when I was there as well. But then Landry Shamet, giving him an extension that he just traded for, was a little bit head-scratching when you're not going to pay Ayton. So I think there is some, friction there between the player and the franchise. And, I think for Ayton, he just needs to go out and have a tremendous year. And if he does that, he'll probably be a max player next year. Either the Suns will give it to him or he'll get an offer sheet from another team in restricted free agency.
Ryan, we've only got about a minute. Your thoughts on the year that Aaron Nesmith might have? What are your expectations?
He's an elite shooter. I think he really showed that he can make shots on an NBA floor last year. I've been reading the stories about the shooting displays he's put on and in the preseason workouts and training camp and things like that. So I think, can he be more than that? I think he showed that he could do a little bit off the dribble last year. Can he expand on that? Teams will run at him, guys. When you're a knockdown shooter, teams really sell out to close out to the perimeter and try to not let you get those catch-and-shoot three-point shots. So, they're going to be driving opportunities for him. Can he use those to get to the basket and finish or get to the free throw line? Or, as we discussed with Brown and Tatum, can he use those opportunities to make plays for his teammates? That's what I'll be looking for from Nesmith. But I thought after somewhat of a slow start a year ago as a rookie, he really came on late in the year. And so I'm excited to watch him play this year and see if he can continue to develop in year two.
Longtime NBA front office executive Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA insider, joining Gresham Keefe to start the Celtics season. Ryan, thanks, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. There goes Ryan McDonough. And he is presented to us by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.